So, now we're going to have thunder showers. That means lights probably go out and we'll have real fun then. Amen. Had my share of distractions this morning and we got through it. Lord, help us through tonight. I got a flashlight somewhere. Better locate it, hadn't I? Nope. Somebody has moved my flashlight. That's not good. Oh, well. There it is. There it is. Hid behind your little flower thing that's down there. yeah, it works. Yeah. I could preach by that if I had to. Amen. All right. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. This section on the person of Christ is the answer to all heresy concerning the person of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, we know that that question was first posed to Jesus by His own disciples when they told Him in Matthew 16, verse 13, they asked Him, He asked the disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And there was a wide diversity of opinions among men in that day, just as there is today. People, if you ask folks who they think Christ is, and whether they believe in the deity of Christ, you'll get a lot of answers. A lot of folks don't believe in the deity of Christ. They believe He was a good man. They believe He's a great teacher, but they don't believe that He was God in the flesh. Back during Jesus' day, some believed Jesus to be John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Some believe that He was Elijah, laying the pathway for the Messiah. And some believe that He was Jeremiah come back to restore the temple. Some believe that He was just another one of the prophets. Well, yeah, He's a prophet, but He's just another one of the prophets, just like any other prophet. But Jesus was much more than just another prophet sent from God. The real question is the same that Jesus asked His disciples in Matthew 16:15 when He said to them, He said, "But whom say ye that I am? Whom say ye that I am?" Jesus wants to know who you and I say that He is. And heresies regarding the person of Christ, they abounded in Paul's day just like they abound in our day. And one of the first heresies that we saw in Paul's day was the heresy of Arianism. Arianism said that Jesus Christ was just another creature. Just another creature. Another heresy during this time was Gnosticism. The Gnostics believed that Jesus was not God, but that He was just another emanation of many emanations from God, kind of like an angel of some sort. Now, there are those today who still hold these same beliefs, and we know that in our day, Unitarianism and some of the cults, including the Jehovah's Witnesses, do not believe that Jesus is God, but He is very God, as we will see in our text tonight. And listen, it took more than just another creature to redeem man. It took, more than an angel. If the blood of bulls and goats was inadequate, and it was, so the blood of any other creature that might have come into the world would be inadequate to cover our sins. But, it took more than just an emanation from God. If it just took an emanation from God, God could have used the angels. But He didn't use the angels because angels don't have any blood. And they're not man. In order to redeem man, it took a man. Amen? And to redeem all of mankind, it took the God-man. And it took the sinless, holy Son of God. And it took the God-man. And in this passage, we see Paul marking out the superiorities or the glories, what I like to call the glories of Christ. Look there at Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 15. And we're only going to deal with half of this tonight. I'm going to preach this in two parts, verses 15 through 19 here. It says, who is the image of the invisible God? It's talking about Christ. This context here is talking about the Son, the kingdom of His dear Son, and whom we have redemption through His blood. He said in verse 14, even the forgiveness of sins. So we know it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So I want you to see first of all tonight, the glory of His person found there in verse 15. It says, first of all, that Christ is the image of the invisible God. What is that talking about? Look at Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. And keep your Bible handy and keep it ready to turn. And just hold your place there in Colossians, because we'll be flipping back and forth. And Hebrews chapter number 1, we see here what is speaking of. Hebrews 1 verse number 1. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, look at verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so, it says there in verse 3, He's the brightness of the glory of God. He's the express image of God's person. That's what it's speaking of there in those first two things. He is the image of the invisible God. John chapter 1, verse number 18 says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. We saw this morning in John chapter number 14 where how that Jesus came. He said He came to show us the Father. Say, He that hath seen Me has seen the Father. In John chapter number 14, verses 6 through 11. And you remember those verses? John 15, verse 24. Jesus said, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had any sin, but now they have both seen and hated both Me and My Father. Why would He say that? Because, friend, Jesus was the image of the invisible God, and when they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they were rejecting God Himself. They were rejecting the Father just as much as rejecting the Son. And that's why it's so important today to understand that folks cannot say, I worship God, but I don't worship Jesus Christ. They may worship a God, but they don't worship the one true God, because you cannot do away with the Lord Jesus Christ and hang on to God, because He is express image. He's the image of the invisible God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the knowledge of the glory of God comes to us in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So we see the glory of His person. He is the image of the invisible God. Back to our text there in verse number 15. What's the second thing it says there? Not only verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, but look at this. He's the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. This is the glory of His position. The glory of His position. He is the firstborn of every creature. John chapter number 1, in verse number 14, tells us that and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the firstborn of God, and He is the firstborn of God in the flesh. Of every creature that was ever made, He is the first that was born of God. He is the only one who was ever begotten of God in the flesh. Now, we're born again of God, aren't we? Born again of God in the Spirit. I'm born again. I hope you're born again tonight. We talk about being born again. We're born of God. But Christ was the only one born in the flesh of God. And God is the everlasting Father, and the Son is the everlasting Son. And His person in the Trinity is that of being the Son, and firstborn indicates His priority before all creation. Doesn't mean He was created before all creation, but the fact that He's the firstborn, it shows His priority. Psalm 89, verse 27 says, "Also I will make Him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth." You know, there's been a lot of mighty folks who have taken and ruled and reigned in this world. There's been a lot not so mighty too, right? Some folks thought they were mighty. But you take a look at folks like Alexander the Great and many of the Caesars and all, where they thought they were great folks, and a lot of folks looked up to them. But none of them were the born of God. None of them were born in the flesh of God, even though the Caesars had folks looked at them and looked to them as being God. They thought they were God, but they weren't God. Jesus Christ was higher than the kings of the earth. Hebrews 1 and verse number 6 says, "And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him." Why? Because Jesus is higher than the angels. Amen. I mean, He was made a little lower than the angels for a period of time. But listen, He is worthy to be worshipped because He's God in the flesh. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son," listen, "that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." You know, I thank God that we've been born of God. But Jesus was the first, and He's the only one born of God in the flesh. And thank God that He was born in the flesh, because without Him being born in the flesh, we would have had no hope in seeing salvation in our lives. So we see the glory of His possession. He is the firstborn of every creature. Second thing we see is that He was he's the firstborn from the dead. Look at verse number 18 there in our text. Said, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." So He's the firstborn of every creature. And here in verse 18, He's called the firstborn from the dead. Well, what's that all about? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, this is talking about the resurrection is what it's talking about. He's the first one, the firstborn from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. Says, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. And they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead," and look at this, "and He's become the first fruits of them that slept." In other words, He's the first fruit, or the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one to arise from the dead, to die no more. And it's what it's talking about there. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ," and here it is, He's the first fruits, "afterward they that are Christ at His coming." Now, we know that Christ was not the first one to arise from the dead, right? I mean, we've seen on Wednesday nights. Wednesday night we've been studying the numbers, and we studied number 3, and we looked at how there were 3 resurrections in the Old Testament. And there were 3 resurrections, 3 that were resurrected by Christ in the New Testament before His own resurrection. There were some who arose from the grave. But listen, Christ was the first to arise from the dead to die no more. All those other people that arose from the dead, every one of them had to die again. They had to die again. But Christ died one time. Amen. One time is all it needed. And we too will arise from the dead, just like Christ, to die no more. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, I'm glad that we only have to go through death one time. And I'm hoping that I'll be one of those that don't have to go through death. Amen. We still have the possibility of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in our lifetime. We don't know whether that will happen or not. The way things are going in this world, looks like it's going to be real soon, don't it? But listen, we too are going to rise from the dead to die no more. But Jesus Christ was the first. He's the firstborn of God in the flesh. He's the firstborn from the dead. And then we see that He is the head of the church. That's another glory of His position. He is the head of the church. Look at verse number 18. Again, back in our text. Verse number 18 again says, "And He is the head of the body." The church. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the head of the church. What's that all about? Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. We're going to take a look at several different things here in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 1, look at verse number 19. And this is speaking about Christ. Ephesians 1, verse number 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places," God set Him there, "far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and give Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." He's the head of the church. He's the head of all things. The head is the prominent position in the body, isn't it? I mean, it's the one that stands out. It's the first thing you want to cover when something's flying your way, because it's a prominent position. You can't live without the head, can you? The head is a very important part. The head is a prominent position. Look there at Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 15. Ephesians 4, verse number 15 and 16. It says here, in Ephesians 4, verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, we're the body of Christ, okay? We're joined together, but we're joined together in Christ. He's the head. He's the head. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 23. Ephesians 5, verse 23. He says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." So the head is the prominent position. The head is also the power position of the body. It's the one that gives the power to the rest of the body. You take and sever the head, and the body has no power, does it? Doesn't have any at all. It gives direction for every other function of the body. And the head is the perception position in the body. All five senses find their source in the head. Your sight is in the head. Hearing, it's in the head. Smell, it's in the head. Taste, comes from the head. And really, even the touch. You couldn't even feel if it wasn't for your head. Your brain is what senses the touch or the feeling. And that's why it's so necessary for us as the body of Christ to abide in Christ. It is because He's the sensory position. And we can't even sense things the way we ought to apart from being in Him. Jesus said, "Without Me, ye can do what? Nothing. Nothing." That's what He said in John 15, verse number 5. So it's necessary for us to abide in Christ. So we see the glory of His person. He is the image of the invisible God. We see the glory of His position. He is the firstborn of every creature, and He is the head of the church. Now we see the glory of His power. Look back at Colossians there. Colossians, and we're going to take a look there, chapter number 1, verse number 16. See the glory of His power. It says in verse 16, "For by Him, by Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Now, these folks who don't think that Jesus Christ is God, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, if Jesus isn't God, we've got a contradiction, don't we? Because it says, "For by Christ, by Him," it's talking about very clearly. This is in the context of this. It's talking about Christ. "By Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth." Listen, all things were created by Him, and that clears up any question about Christ being a creator or being a creature. You know, is Christ a creator or a creature? Well, He was born in this world, but friend, He existed long before He was ever born. He is the creator. Isaiah chapter number 44 and verse number 24 says this. It says, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." I like the way that John chapter number 1 puts it. Look at John chapter number 1, the first three verses there. And by the way, there's some of the cults that have taken and they made their own Bible because they didn't know what to do with this these verses that are here. You know, every time they come try to talk to some of us Baptists about Jesus not being God, we take them to John chapter 1 and say, "Well, what are you going to do about this, buddy?" You know, and so they changed their Bible to make Jesus a God and not the God. Amen. And it says here in John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It didn't say He was a God. It says He was God. "The same was in the beginning with God." Look at this. It reiterates again, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And so it's very clear that Jesus Christ, we see the glory of His power. All things were created by the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 6, Paul said, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." And Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 9 says that God created all things by Christ Jesus. Christ was the one. Yes, God did create everything, but He used the Son. The Son was the one. He was the avenue by which all things were created. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 again. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to see something else here. And we read just a while ago, verse number 2. Let's read verse number 2 again. Hebrews 1, verse number 2. It says, "He hath in this last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things." Jesus Christ is the heir. But look at this last phrase here. "By whom also He made the worlds." It is by the Son that God made the worlds. Look at verse 10 and 10 through 12. Look at verse number 10. It says, "And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail." Listen, folks, Jesus Christ is eternal God. He's the one that laid the foundation. He's the one by which the heavens were made. It says the heavens are the works of His hands. So we see the glory of His power. All things were created by Him. Second thing I want you to see there is that all things were created beneath Him. Look back in our passage of Scripture there in Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 1 again. It says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And if, you know, folks want to try to nitpick and say, well, Christ made some of it and Christ didn't make all of it, listen, it said all things. And all means all, and that's all that all means, amen? He said all things were created by Him. But look at verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's before all things. All things were created beneath Him. We know that all things were not only created by Him, but all things were created beneath Him. Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse 39 says, "Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else." And 1 Chronicles 29 verse number 11 says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted." Listen, He's exalted as head above all. So everything was created below the Lord Jesus Christ. He's above all things, amen? He's above all His creation. And we see here that all things were not only created by Him and all things were created beneath Him, but all things were created because of Him or for Him. It says there that they were created by Him and for Him there in the last part of verse number 16. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 4 says. It says, "The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." He made it all for Himself. Isaiah 43, verse 21 says, "This people have I formed for Myself, they shall show forth My praise." The Lord made Israel. He made Israel for Himself. Romans 11, verse 36 says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And Hebrews 2, verse number 10 that we read just a while ago. Well, we didn't read Hebrews 2:10. We read Hebrews 1. But Hebrews 2:10 says, "For it became Him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." So it says there that all things are by Him, and again, all things are for Him. And so we see the glory of His power. Now I want you to see the glory of His preexistence. Look there at verse number 17 of our text. It says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." He is before all things. Jesus Christ did not have His beginning at Bethlehem. Friend, He was before anything ever was made. How else could He be Creator? How else could He have created it all if He wasn't before all things? We see the glory of His preexistence. Look at Revelation chapter number 1. The book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Revelation 1, verse number 8 says, this is when John, the Apostle John, saw here on the Isle of Patmos. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ in all His glory and with his own eyes. And it says in verse 8 that the Lord said to him, "Behold," He said, "I am Alpha and Omega." Verse number 8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Look at verse number 11. Look at verse number 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and see it, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. He's saying to the churches, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Look at verse number 17 and 18. Verse 17 and 18. John said, "When I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not." Look at this. "I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and death." If you had any doubt that all this was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that ought to tell you right there, verse 18. He said, "I'm He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore." That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the in the beginning God who created the heavens and the earth. He is the in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And Isaiah 44 and verse number 6 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." And the first and the last, the same wording that we find there in the book of the Revelation, is speaking there in the book of Isaiah. Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Jehovah God. That's Him. And He said, "Beside me there is no God." Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2 talks about the Lord Jesus Christ being born on the earth and how He would be born in Bethlehem. In Micah 5, 2 it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel," listen to this, "whose goings forth have been from the old, from everlasting." In other words, Jesus is eternal God. Amen. That He was not a created being. He was God, and He is God. John chapter number 8 and verse number 58, Jesus made it very clear. Look at John chapter number 8 and verse number 58. Jesus made it very clear while He was on the earth that He didn't have His beginning here, and that Joseph and Mary really didn't have anything to do with His beginning. Maybe the beginning of His earthly existence, but not the beginning of His existence. John 8 and verse number 58. Look at what the Lord says here. He says here, "And Jesus said unto them," well, let's back up to verse number 56. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." That "I am" is a reference to the Jehovah God who appeared to Israel in the book of Exodus as the "I am," the one that Moses said, "Well, who should I say sent me?" He said, "Say that I am has sent you." And we see here in verse 59, "Then they took up stones to cast at Him." And why did they do that? Because they knew what Jesus was claiming. That Jesus was claiming deity. That He was claiming to be God. Friend, we see here that Jesus is the I Am. We see the glory of His preexistence. John chapter number 17 and verse number 5. Look at John chapter number 17, verse number 5. Look at Jesus' words here in His prayer to His Father. John 17, verse number 5. He says, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." So He talks about His existence before the world ever came into existence. And friend, listen, that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse number 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You can go yesterday, you keep on going one day back, one day back, one day back, you'll come to the beginning. You go with that one day before that, and He was still, amen, still the same as He always been. Oh, what a mighty and glorious Savior that we have. What a glorious head of the church. And we should be obedient to Him in every way. Let me ask you, is the Lord Jesus Christ, is He your Lord? Do you call Him Lord? Is He really your Lord? All of His creatures will one day acknowledge Him in all of His glory. And we're one of His creatures. And the question is, have you acknowledged Him for who He is? If you're not, why not call on Him? Call Him Lord in this life, because one of these days you are going to call Him Lord, because the Bible is very clear that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And friend, if you are saved, you're a Christian, and the question is, are you serving this glorious Savior? I mean, He's a glorious one, and He deserves our service. He deserves our all. And you have all of Him. Doesn't He deserve all of you? Amen. He deserves every bit of us. So we see the glories of our Christ. And if God has spoken to your heart, maybe in some way, you've seen the glorious nature of our Lord Jesus Christ anew tonight. And maybe you've not exalted Him as much as you should exalt Him in your life. Why not put Him back into place where He belongs? Put Him as the Lord of your life. We call Him Lord. You know, Jesus told some folks that were following Him, He said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He said, "You know, your speech is denying what who I really am. You call me Lord, but you're not treating me like I'm Lord. You're not allowing me to have control of your life." And the Lord wants control of your life tonight. And if He doesn't have control, why don't you give Him control? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You tonight for the glorious nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, dear God, for the things that we've learned tonight. And Lord, the things that we shall learn to come, and the things that we'll learn throughout all eternity of the glorious nature of Jesus. Lord, there's not enough time on this earth for us to learn all of the glories of Christ. And God, we could take and study about Him, and we could take and talk about Him from now until the time we leave this earth. But yet there will be many, many things that are yet untold. And God, we look forward to learning more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, help us in the things that we know about Christ, to follow Christ. Lord, help us to take and not only know about Christ, but to reveal Christ to others. Lord, to be the light and the salt in this earth as we should be, that we might show the glory of God the Father in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is through Him, Lord, that we will obtain glory. It's through Him that we will obtain that resurrection from the dead. It's because He's the first begotten from the dead that we're going to be begotten from the dead. And Lord, we thank You so much that we're going to be raised from the dead one day, and that's because of what Christ has done for us and what and the fact, very nature of the fact that He arose from the dead. God, just take these words, Lord, and use them in our hearts and lives, and help us to live the reality of Christ in our lives each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.